The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on James, J-A-M-E-S, at endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to talk about Where Will You Spend Eternity, Part 13. Overview of today's broadcast. We're continuing to look at what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. We'll continue to look at the subject of towards the judgment seat and throne. We will then consider the cup of Yeshua. 99 out of 100 are lost. Will you seek to love and save the lost? We will then look at the demographics of the kingdom as at the 25th of December 2015, and close with an important update, April 2024. Finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this broadcast is based on the article 2024-0103, Where Will You Spend Eternity? With commentary on the Final Quest, 3rd edition, part 13. The book was originally written in 2003, and it's been refreshed twice. We're continuing to look at towards the judgment seat and throne, and we're basing these comments on the book The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, where he reports a series of visions where he was taken into heaven. I believe that this book and these visions are amongst the most important items that we have accessible to believers in this age. So I'm quoting verbatim from that book and commenting on that. So on page 114, paragraph 5, that's referencing the version of the book that I read and marked up, and that's available as a scanned set of images on my website. If you go to the ETI Bible version web page, and then under that you'll find the Final Quest, and under that you'll find the scanned copy of the book. And then on page 115, paragraph 1, Joyner reports, as I continued towards the judgment seat, I began to pass those who were of higher rank in the kingdom. Their glory was unspeakable, and their victory encouraged me that it was possible to stay on the path of life and to serve Yah in faithfulness. Those who stumbled, stumbled in many different ways. Those who prevailed all did it the same way. They did not deviate from their devotion to the first and greatest commandment, loving the Almighty. By this their service was done unto him, not to men, not even for spiritual men. So we pick up where we left off after saying that truly this treasure, what we've just described, is a treasure that is worth seeking to obtain, a treasure that warrants the sacrifice of obedience and love in this life. The following passage from the final quest indicates that there are various levels of throne. Page 116, paragraph 1, Joyner reports, "As I approached the judgment seat of the anointing of Yah, Christ, those in the highest ranks were also sitting on thrones that were all a part of his throne. Even the least of these thrones was more glorious than any earthly throne many times over. Some of these were rulers over cities on earth who would soon take their places. Others were rulers over the affairs of heaven, and others over the affairs of the physical creation, such as star systems and galaxies. However, it was apparent that those who were given authority over cities were esteemed above those who had been given authority over galaxies. The value of a single child surpassed that of a galaxy of stars, because the Holy Spirit dwelt in men, and Yah the Eternally Self-Existing had chosen men as his eternal dwelling place. In the presence of his glory, the whole earth seemed as insignificant as a speck of dust, and yet it was so infinitely esteemed that the intention of the whole creation was upon it." So Joyner calls it the judgment seat of Christ. The correct translation of the word Christ is the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. So that's the Spirit of Yah in you as a believer that will judge you at the end of your life. The passage that I've just read indicates that the majority of people who have so far qualified to sit on high thrones for eternity do not conform to human perspectives of who would qualify. On 117:2, it is stated that it was both awesome and relieving to stand before the judgment seat, and that in the vision, Joyner had passed the point, quote, "past the point where I was concerned if the judgment was going to be good or bad. I just knew it would be right and that I could trust my judge." It speaks to us in this life as well. Are we willing to trust the Almighty to judge us in this life? You have a choice. You can not ask him, which is what just about everybody does, or you can ask him by praying the prayer that I've shared previously: judge me severely, correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. One of the biggest things that I get out of the final quest is this peace that those who were esteemed on earth frequently only just scraped by into the lower ranks in heaven, and the people that are in the high ranks in heaven were hardly known on earth. It's sobering. If you're running around doing church stuff or mosque stuff or synagogue stuff or whatever, just check it out. You may not be doing Yah's will. Page 117, paragraph 3, quote, "At one point Yeshua looked towards the galleries of thrones around him. Many were occupied, but many were empty. He then said, 'These thrones are for the overcomers who've served me faithfully in every generation. My Father and I prepared them before the foundation of the world. Are you worthy to sit on one of these?'" Joyner reports in page 117, paragraph 4, he reports that, quote, I looked at the thrones. I looked at those who were now seated. I could recognize some of the great heroes of the faith, but most of those seated I knew had not been well known on earth. Many I knew had been missionaries who had expended their lives in obscurity. That never cared to be remembered on earth, but wanted only to be remembered by him. I was a bit surprised to see some who'd been wealthy, or rulers who'd been faithful with what they'd been given. However, it seemed that faithful praying women and mothers occupied more thrones than any other single group. Really important, and this just elaborates on the point that I made a minute ago. Human, earthly standards are no reliable indicator of who's going to be where in heaven. So if you're in the habit of judging people and saying this one's right and this one's wrong and this one's a good servant and that one's a bad servant, I really encourage you to cut it out and stop it. It's not serving you. And it's potentially going to come back and bite you badly. Coming back to what I've just read, we see a high proportion of women, specifically on thrones. This is an important revelation. There's a widely held belief that the doctrine of women submitting to their husbands in some way makes them second-class citizens or is oppressive. And there have certainly been many men who have applied these doctrines oppressively and unjustly. However, this does not alter the basis on which a woman will be judged. Did she submit to her husband in everything? This vision of many women on thrones clearly nullifies beliefs that women are second-rate citizens. Taken together with Isaiah 4:1 cited previously, this can also be taken as an indication that the Almighty intends for there to be more women on thrones even after the final judgment. I wrote that, as I say, in 2003. Not totally sure that last sentence is accurate. I think it's the way it's turned out, that for whatever reason, women are more faithful than men in serving Yah. Because we see in the people on the mountain right back in the early sections of the final quest, more women. We see here, we saw on the lower levels of the mountain, more women. We see here on the thrones, more women. I've said it before and it bears repeating. If you are a man who looks down on women or treats women badly, I strongly, strongly, strongly suggest that you cut it out and turn over a new leaf and stop your nonsense, because it's going to get you into big trouble the day you stand before the judgment seat. It seems important that women understand this and that they do not sacrifice an opportunity to sit on a throne or enter heaven by getting into women's liberation, rebellion, and other prevalent modern sin, or by covenanting marrying with a man who's not as close to Father as they are, or worse still, is an unbeliever. This and other passages also suggest to me that a man needs the support of one or more wives who will underpin him and support him spiritually, particularly through intercession, and assist him to serve the Almighty faithfully. There's much that's not understood about these concepts in the present age, and much that is taught and practiced that is in opposition to them. I grew up in a family where my mother and my sisters were treated with utmost respect. My father was certainly not a chauvinist, and I grew up not as a chauvinist, as somebody who respected women, regarded women as equals, and didn't seek to dominate or suppress or whatever. And I've never understood how a man can treat a woman who is a beautiful creation badly. And I really, my whole being screams no when I read of some of the things that are happening in some of the parts of the world in terms of denying women education, forcing them into oppressive clothing, treating them badly, applying double standards to them. And it's being done by people who, in many cases, claim to be believers, and they're seriously deceived. So if you belong to one of these groups that looks down on women, for goodness sake, get out of it. Wake up. You could be in deep trouble when you die. In response to Yeshua's question to Joiner in 117:3 as to whether he, Joiner, was worthy to sit on a throne, Joiner acknowledges in 118:1 that there was no way that I could answer yes to Yeshua's question. This is surely the only answer that any living human being can give. In 118:2, Yeshua asks Joiner, but do you want this seat? Do you want to sit on a throne with Yeshua for eternity? This is the essential question of this whole series. Do you want to sit on a throne with Yeshua for eternity? It's a question worth pondering. If you have never understood that there is a hierarchy in heaven, there are ranks in heaven, there are levels of esteem in heaven, ranging from the outer darkness, the trash heap of heaven, if you never had a relationship with Father, to a high, high throne next to Yeshua, if you're a friend of Yah, and anywhere in between. And it's entirely up to you where on that continuum you lie. And if you're an unbeliever, you're not even going to make it into heaven. You're just going to die, and you're going to be shown heaven and told that you've been lied to, and then you're going to go back to your corpse. You're going to end up in the grave, or you're going to end up in a crematorium oven, where you might be uplifted and used to haunt people. You've got a huge spectrum of choices, my friend. And maybe this is the first time anyone's ever told you that. But now you've some idea of what the price is to sit on such a throne, some idea of the sacrifices, the adjustments, the probability of pain and loss in this life, the probability of a major adjustment in your life. Do you want such a seat? There's no obligation to say yes, and I suggest that it is not prudent to say yes unless you've really thought this through and prayed about it. It's easy to get excited with what I've just shared about these magnificent supernatural bodies with massive authority, massive supernatural powers. People who've seen Yeshua, the resurrected Yeshua, end up worshipping him because he's so powerful they think he must be Yah. No, he's so powerful because he lived a life without sin in obedience to Yah. And as the reward, he was given this fantastic supernatural body and these fantastic supernatural powers so that he can hear what's going on in multiple places in the world simultaneously, so he can be in multiple locations simultaneously, so that he can perform miracles. You can be like that if you want to. Have you ever thought about it? You could live your life like Yeshua did, free of sin and serving Yah faithfully, and you could die and be, and you could become a friend of Yah. It takes some work, but it's possible. And you could sit on a high throne with massive splendor and massive authority for all your life, for all eternity, that makes whatever you think you're going to achieve in this life pale into insignificance. If you're not really willing to pay the price, rather don't say yes and rather be silent and let this moment pass. It will be better to do that than to say yes now and then find that you're not willing to see it through. In such a case, the judgment will be harsher in the end. Rather wait a while and make a quality decision. a decision that you will not compromise on later. Get in touch with what you really want in life. Nice cars, nice house, approval of your family and peers, etc. Or do you want, quote, well done, thy good and faithful servant, come up higher on the day of your judgment? I'm convinced that if anyone really grasps the magnitude of what is being offered, they will say, yes, I desire such a throne. What about you? To me, it's no contest. It's taken me many years. I first read The Final Quest in 1998. It's taken me many years to get to a place where I really, really think that I've got it. I got it way back then. That's why I've read the book, I don't know, 10, 20, I don't know, times. It's why I'm currently rendering it and correcting key errors and commenting on it. It's why I incorporated it into this article way back in 2003. The following extract from The Final Quest gives some indication of what the Almighty might say to you if you say yes. On page 118, paragraph 3, Joyner replies, I do with all of my heart. On 118.4, Joyner reports, quote, Yeshua then looked at the galleries and said, those empty seats could have been filled in any generation. I gave the invitation to sit here to everyone who's called on my name. They're still available. Now the last battle has come, and many who are last shall be first. These seats will be filled before the battle is over. Those who will sit here will be known by two things. They will wear the mantle of humility, and they will have my likeness. You now have the mantle. If you can keep it and do not lose it in the battle, when you return, you will also have my likeness. Then you will be worthy to sit with these, because I will have made you worthy. All authority and power has been given to me, and I alone can wield it. You will prevail, and you will be trusted with my authority, only when you have come to fully abide in me. Now turn and look at my household. This was originally given to Joyner in 1993, published, I think, in 1994. So 30 years ago. Since then, in 2003, Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years. The dispensation changed. We now live in a situation where the number of people serving Yah is rapidly reducing. And the big question is, will there be anybody left at the end of the millennium to call for Yeshua to return, which requires that they're free of sin and in right standing with Yah. On page 118, paragraph 5, Joyner says, I turned and looked back in the direction I'd come from. From before his throne, I could see the entire room. The spectacle was beyond any comparison in its glory. Millions filled the ranks. Each individual in the lowest rank was more, page 119, paragraph 1, more awesome than an army and had more power. It was far beyond my capacity to absorb such a panorama of glory. Even so, I could see that only a very small portion of the great room was occupied. It's my understanding that this is still the case today, and it's my understanding that unless something radically changes, it will be the case at the end of the age. What has to change? A large number of people need to stop sinning, stop using the false names, stop worshipping Yeshua, stop worshipping the Bible, and serve Yah alone. love Yah with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And if a significant number of people do that, on earth, in this age, things will change. That's my goal. I ask you to enroll with me to help me. You don't have to tell me you're doing it. Just start praying along the lines of what I've set out on the website. So we move on. The next section, the cup. 99 out of 100 are lost. Will you seek to love and save the lost? Page 119, paragraph 2. I then looked back at Yeshua and was astonished to see tears in his eyes. He'd wiped the tears away from every eye here except his own. As a tear ran down his cheek, he caught it in his hand and he then offered it to me. 119:3, quote, "This is my cup. Will you drink it with me?" Unquote. It seems to me that this is the same question that will be asked of every person who seeks to sit on a throne for eternity. Whether you find yourself called to reach millions, or whether you're called to reach a small number who will qualify for high thrones, and by so doing will acquire the power and authority on earth to radically change things, is partly up to you, and it's partly up to what Father has planned for you. And that's a function of what you've done up to this moment in time. The question you need to ask yourself is, am I prepared to make a difference? Am I prepared to do whatever Yah asks me to do, no matter how much of a challenge it is? It's not easy. But the reward is huge. And that makes it worthwhile. Page 119, paragraph 4, Joyner says, there was no way that I could refuse him. As Yeshua continued to look at me, I began to feel his great love. Even as foul as I was, he still loved me. As undeserving as I was, he wanted me to be close to him. Then he said, quote, on page 119, paragraph 5, I love all of these with a love that you cannot now understand. I also love all who are supposed to be here but did not come. I've left the 99 to go after the one who is lost. My shepherds would not leave the one to go after the 99 who are still lost. I came to save the lost. Will you share my heart to go to save the lost? Will you help to fill this room? Will you help to fill these thrones and every other seat in this hall? Will you take up this quest to bring joy to heaven, to me and to my Father? This judgment is for my own household, and my own house is not full. The last battle will not be over until my house is full. Only then will it be time for us to redeem the earth and remove the evil from my creation. If you drink my cup, you will love the lost the way that I love them. If you are not doing something to lead people to relationship with Yah, being as I'm doing, encouraging people to seek to become friends and overcomers, albeit just to get people to believe at any basic level, understanding that just going out and having a so-called crusade and having an altar call and having tens or hundreds or thousands of people play some simple prayer of salvation and then going away and leaving them to figure it out for themselves is just populating the outer darkness. Yah's tired of that. He doesn't want it anymore. So 99% of all who should have been in heaven at the time that Joyner was there were not. That is a terrible statistic. As mentioned above, in the current age, the situation for the current generation is worse. On the 17th of January 2002, the writer was told by the Almighty that if the world was to be judged at that moment, only 30 million people of the entire world population on earth at that moment to qualify to enter heaven. On Passover 2004, 6th of April, the writer was told that this number had reduced to 3 million. There was a massive falling away around the turn of the millennium and into the first few years of the new calendar millennium, where the actual millennium was about started in about May 2003. And it's just been plummeting. Very few young people are coming to belief, and the old guard are dying off just by natural attrition. So the question is, what are you going to do? Maybe you think it's too ambitious to go after the 99% that are lost. What are you going to do if about going for 1% of those who are lost? And maybe if you can get the 1%, the 1% will get the 2%, and the 2% will get the 4%, and the 4% will get the 8%, and so on. Think about it. So in my update of the article, I quoted results that I was given on the 25th of December 2015, the demographics of the Kingdom of Yah. The following demographics of the Earth's population on the date of the 25th of December 2015. There was one friend. There were 20 overcomers. There were of the order of 5,000 good and faithful servants. There were of the order of 200,000 wise stewards. There were of the order of 500,000 adulterous wives. There were of the order of 2 million foolish virgins. And in the outer darkness, the unbelieving believers, they were of the order of 20 million who don't count. These are the numbers who would qualify for those ranks if Yeshua were to return on that date. Since then, large numbers have died and few have joined. The current statistic is much lower. Yah has also said to me that unless there is a major turning around in the next few years, within 100 years, there will be no significant believers left on earth. Maybe a few ragtag people who sort of believe. And he said that in 200 years, if that happens, the earth will descend into the most vile and horrible evil. It is up to the people of this generation, people like you who are listening to me, to turn that around. I urge you to do so. Commit yourself, Father, in the name of Yeshua. I want to help you turn the situation around. Help me to know what to do. Right now, can you say with total conviction, based on a deep personal relationship with the Almighty, that you've done enough in your life to qualify for a high throne? Can you truly say that your doctrine is sufficiently accurate that you will not be found a liar and a heretic on the day of judgment? Can you truly say that you have held lengthy personal conversations with the Almighty to a point where you're confident that you know His will in your life, or that in some other way that you're confident that you're on the straight way headed for the narrow gate? Are you certain? I guess about a month ago, 2 months ago, I met a lady on LinkedIn. She joined my mailing list, and I added her to my WhatsApp group, or she may have added me to her WhatsApp group, probably more accurately. And she published daily quite an inspiring little article The problem was that it was in God, the name of God and the Lord and Jesus and Easter and so forth. And I gently tried to challenge her on that and steer her right. But she was intransigent. One of the things that I said to her is, you need to fast so that you can hear Father. She said, I don't need to hear Father. I know I'm on the right track, or words to that effect. The arrogance was startling. Folks, if you think that what I'm saying is relevant, you need to fast and pray and seek to hear Yah clearly. Don't rely on me. Rely on Yah. Do you want to take a chance? Or is this a time for you to re-examine your life and take a long, hard look at what you've done in your life to date and what you think your life is currently set up to look like if you continue doing what you're doing? Is this a time for change, drastic change? Please consider this prayerfully and carefully, and then listen on with me. You could pray right now along the lines of what I said a moment ago. Father Yah, in the name of Yeshua, I choose to serve you. I desire deeply to sit on a high throne with you for eternity. I ask you to show me what to do, what to read, what to worship, what to say, who to meet, what to read. Help me, Father, to change, to become the person you want me to be. Help me to qualify for that high throne. I desire a high throne. I desire to be your friend. I thank you that you want me to be your friend. I thank you that you will help me to get there. I thank you that you will bring the people you want into my life and take the people you don't want in my life out. I thank you that you will open the doors you want open in my life and close the doors you want closed. I desire to be your friend, and I commit right now to put in whatever it takes to get to be there. On page 119, paragraph 6, and page 120, paragraph 1, Joyner describes how Yeshua placed the tear in a plain cup and gave it to him, Joyner, to drink. Joyner describes how he erupted into tears, crying for the lost and for Yeshua and the Almighty. On page 120, paragraph 2, Joyner describes how he was then filled with the peace of Yah, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of Yah which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through the anointing which was upon Yeshua, typically translated as Christ Jesus. After this, Joyner experienced the glory of the Almighty and was filled with the urge to preach, to worship, and to breathe every breath for the good news of the kingdom of the Almighty. I shared an article yesterday, in fact. The actual letter that was written by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, to the Roman emperor, Julius Caesar, concerning Yahshua, it validates what is written in the Bible. It goes into a bit more detail about the exceptional character and disposition of Yeshua. The key point is that it clearly evidences that Yeshua really did exist and really did what is attributed to him. At the end of reading that article, I erupted in tears, sobs, begging Father to help me to change things. That article is on the website. I encourage you to read it and do whatever you find to do after you've read it. An important update on April 2024. In April 2023, I published an article, 2023-0408, the Almighty Creator, Yah, is indifferent to unbelievers, is a web page of that name. It is now my understanding that primarily Yah is looking to recruit existing believers to become overcomers and friends and grow in relationship with Him. He's lost interest in evangelism that fills the outer darkness. This must be seen in the context of Satan having been sent to the pit for 1,000 years on the 3rd of May 2003. See the article 2010-09-07B, Satan sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit on the 3rd of May 2003. Web page Satan to the pit. Folks, if you don't understand that Satan is in the pit and that seven demonic masterminds are ruling on earth, you're at a bit of a disadvantage. I've spoken about this at length before. Check the back issues of the broadcasts. There's several pages on the website that talk about it. The dispensation changed before that point. Yah could no longer extend grace for the false names Jesus, God, the Lord, etc. If you pray to God and to the Lord and to Jesus now, you've got a problem. So this is going to be continued next week, and I encourage you to come back. Just hang on. I've got a few things I want to share with you. I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like you to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I sincerely hope that as a result of this series of broadcasts, I have challenged you to perform due diligence on your life, to ask yourself critical questions, questions that I've already given you, to really think deeply about what you want for the rest of your life, and more particularly, what you want for eternity. Please feel free to email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. I will be delighted to help you. There's much information on the website. I encourage you to go and dig. There's over, I don't know, something like 25 years of writings there on all sorts of topics. May well find the answer to your questions there. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you desire to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make His enemies His footstool. There's a fairly detailed article on this on the website. So, folks, it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, fat or thin, tall or short, African, Asian, Caucasian, European, Indian, whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're Hindu, Buddhist, Satanist, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can be the most evil Satanist on the planet today. Yah still wants you to be His friend. He will meet you wherever you are and take you by the hand and help you to get there, provided that you make a quality no going back decision and say to him, Father Yah, I commit to seeking to become your friend, and I ask you to help me to get there. And then do what you find to do. Continue to listen to these broadcasts. Go on the website. Find whatever you can. Folks, if you've been listening for a while, you're probably going to sign off now. If you're here for the first time or the first few times, there's some other information I'd like to share with you. To those who are dropping off, I want to say good night. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe near the top of the website. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for lots of information. That's endtimeissueministries.org. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, together search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. And also there are transcripts on the transcripts of broadcasts page on the website, also recordings. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are available on the Books for Printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and the Google search. Use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for all at the top of the website. So that's all for today, folks. Please contact me if you have questions or you want to make a commitment and you want help with that commitment. And I'm going to say to you right now, good night, go well, be blessed.
Father, I come to you.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? And I want to ask you if you know what is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity. Note that heaven is a highly desirable place to spend eternity, and there are horrible alternatives. If you're not actively seeking a high throne for eternity, you're missing the point of your existence. Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com radio or Talk4TV.com. Visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Go for it. Good day.